crack your beer. Wait.
It's 9 o'clock, and that means it's time for Live from the Piano Kitchen with our resident musical genius, Mr. Jim Conley. You wanted me to say popcorn by Panama Matt.
He's the popcorn boss.
How are you guys doing?
Wow.
That's not. This is the unscripted part of the show.
I know, it's going great. Obviously, yeah, it's sinking already.
All right, I have something.
You prepared something.
I'm going to read something.
Okay.
Can I do, or, you
no.
know?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I thought we were improvising, but go ahead.
No, well, no. Yeah. So it's the end of the semester, and my students at Santa Barbara City College, I'm grading them. I teach acting there, and they all have to write reviews of two different plays that they have to send me before they take, before the final. And of course, they mostly send it after the final. And this is just a section that I was really taken
Can you use names?
No, I'm not going to say the name of the student, but I will say it's a review of the play Crimes of the Heart, which was recently done at Santa Barbara City College. And this student ended his review with these beautiful words. Another thing that I really enjoyed watching was the stairs they had in the play as well. In general, there is just something about stairs that I find super dope in sets. I was gonna say, that dude puts the city in City College.
There's another word that rhymes with city.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Yeah, my grades are done.
Was that C minus or lower?
A plus.
There you go. I don't remember what I gave. I pretty much just credit for the reviews.
Yeah.
Wow.
Paige, what about you?
What's new?
Say something fun. Go.
Okay. Well, this was kind of a weird experience I had. I went to Vaughn's with my friend's boyfriend, who's a very beautiful man from Scotland, and we were going to buy some beers.
Was he wearing a kilt?
No. Okay. No, they don't always wear kilts, you know that, Michael.
I didn't. I've never been to Scotland.
I didn't know he was from Scotland then.
Well, because he is. Anyway.
He's like, I walk a lot?
Yes. All we right. come out of the store, and I very rarely, if ever, wash my car. And on the back of my car window, it says, call me, whoa, and a phone number. Mm. And so we had this whole, like, argument for who
or
was
him?
It for. Right. Him or me or both of us.
Oh, so yeah. You call the number?
So, yeah, so we called. Well, I tried to call. No one answered. Next day, I'm
was
like,
not even a machine?
There was a machine, but it was one of those machines that's like,
generic.
You have reached.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
it's like, you don't know. So the next day, Josh texted the number.
Josh is from Scotland.
Yes.
Scotland Josh.
Yes. And the person like replies back saying like, I have no idea. I honestly have no idea what you're talking about. Which I just think is so if someone's pal is writing their phone numbers on people's filthy cars.
No, you know what that means? It means it was you that he was trying to get in touch.
No, it wasn't, because we played it off as like, you don't know who's on, you don't know who it is.
Yeah. But
he didn't say like, oh, this is Scottish Josh.
Did you put your number? We played it very gender neutral to try to like suss it out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe
his response was gender neutral.
Well, our
some person wrote that dude's number on your car. It's like a prank.
Is that person here tonight?
No, it's Panama Matt.
Oh, Matt.
I can find out who it is.
Really?
Okay, moving on.
That's a little creepy.
And they're in a world of hurt.
Anything that you have to share? Or
I don't. I'm just busy, but the good busy, and I'm not going to complain.
All right.
Not like you guys.
Wow.
Hey, wait. I want to hear about your pacemaker. What's up with that? Last month, we were treated to the news.
Tell them how I found out about it.
This is my wife. She's in the front row. She found out. I don't remember. I didn't tell her. Somebody was like, oh, Michael said at the show he needs a pacemaker. And she was like, oh, he didn't tell me. I forgot. Sorry. That's probably one of the reasons why I need a pacemaker, because it's like messing with my brain. I know. I was supposed to go to cardiologist
yeah.
to get like an electric. I don't necessarily, they're testing, and I had to postpone the appointment because I was doing something else. Because they just give you an appointment. They're, yeah. like, they're like, you should go see this doctor. Well, and then the doctor calls you, say, yeah, Thursday at 11.
Things. You should see the doctor.
If I make it another week and a half, I'll let you know.
Is there anybody that's good with writing plays and would want to be a third, work easily with Paige and
just
I?
Just wait till I die. Till before you ask.
You're right. You're right. Yeah, no. But Annie already said yes.
Oh, okay, great. All right.
All right.
Way to bring the show down.
We've got a musical guest. Jan Smith, who just did a really cool hour here before. And there you are.
And Alice Bradley.
Alice Bradley and Jan Smith. Please welcome them.
Remember why you came.
It's a two banjo night. I don't know that we've ever had a two banjo night.
This is our best show ever. You know what could make it better? Is if one of our Twister Twister talent show
people played a banjo. Somebody wrote down their talent was a banjo. It's not going to happen.
It's not happening.
Yeah, I read them.
Wouldn't that be the best night?
It would be the best night ever. All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Piano Kitchen Radio Theater. Yeah. It's like theater on the radio, except there's no theater, and no one is listening to this on a radio. Who even has a radio anymore? Let's call this exactly what it is, a podcast no one listens to. If no one listens to a podcast, does it even exist? Am I real? I don't know. All I care about anymore is being regular. If I can take one good dump a day, then I know I'm alive and I can go on. It's all that keeps me going. Well, that and CSI mail fraud. Thank you. Anyway, tonight we celebrate National Poetry Month because, yes, that's actually a thing. And sure, it was also last month, but I bet no one here even knew that. And even if you did know that, you probably wanted to keep it to yourself unless you thought, oh, I'm going to lose all my friends. We celebrate National Poetry Month with a true tale of poetical exploits that is 100% made up. We take you now to a town in northern Indiana, a town called Made Up Town Name, where a little girl is hearing her first ever poem.
Read me a poem, Daddy.
All right. Hey, diddle diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumped over the moon. The little dog laughed to see such sport, and the dish ran away with the spoon.
Oh, Mark, how wonderfully magical.
Huh? Yeah, I guess.
What a wonderful world the author creates, where dishes are alive and cows have incredible leaping abilities. I wish I lived there. A place where a dish and a spoon can be in love with no judgment. Unless, of course, they ran away because they were afraid of society's disapproval. Then I guess it's some kind of terrible world where people might actually be afraid to share their love with the world for fear of judgment from small-minded people so desperate to cling to their diminishing sense of power that they would happily stomp on someone's happiness while screaming that they were the ones actually being oppressed. But that can't be true, can it? Could there actually be a world that's so awful?
Well...
Do you think that the cat actually played the fiddle, or were they just near each other? Read that part again.
Hey, diddle diddle, the cat and the fiddle.
I knew it! They never say that the cat is playing the fiddle. They could be just near each other. Or maybe they too are in love, like the dish and the spoon.
I don't know.
Read me another.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again.
Why would you have to a horse try to put an egg back together?
I don't know.
How do we even know he's an egg?
Look at the picture.
But they never say he's an egg. It could be anyone. Maybe it's a person, which makes it really weird that they would ask the king's horses to put a man back together. Were there no doctors in those days?
Maybe this is a magical world where horses are really good at putting things back together.
Of course. I bet the horses did jigsaw puzzles in their spare time. Oh, what a magical world where words can weave. I wish I lived in such a magical place.
Well, you don't. You live in a trailer.
Do you think someday I could create worlds with words?
I guess. I mean, it's all pretty stupid.
Read me another, Daddy!
Sorry, I gotta go watch The Real Housewives of wherever the hell they're from. You wanna talk about a magical world? Check out the one those crazy ladies live in.
How do you get there?
Drink a buttload of Chablis.
That's what Mama used to drink before she started taking tennis lessons and had to move out of town.
Go to bed.
Fueled by her father's encouragement, Nancy continued to explore worlds created by words as the years pass.
Hey, Nancy, what you doing?
Reading.
Reading? But it's recess. You're supposed to be playing.
I think I'm supposed to be doing what I choose to do with my time, and I choose to read.
You're stupid.
Just listen to this. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference.
Why not just get a map? That's dumb. Words are dumb.
If words are dumb, why are you using them to talk to me right now?
No one likes you.
I know.
And later, she was able to escape the small town and go off to a big city university.
For the sorority. If you want to have a good social life here at college, you need to belong to one of our sororities, and Kappa Slappa Wappa is the best of all of them.
Oh, that sounds terrific!
I know! Okay, so like I said, my name is Kelly, and I'm studying cocktail party sciences. And now, I need your name and your major.
Oh, I'm Nancy, and I'm majoring in words.
Words?
Yes!
Like talking?
Well, all uses of language.
How many people are in that major?
Right now, it's just me.
Okay, so the next thing I need you to do is walk straight down this hall through that door.
Okay, that door right there?
Mm-hmm.
Here I go.
And as Nancy opened the door...
Hello?
Hello?
Is anybody there? Why am I out in the back alley?
Yes, it seems that even in college, people could be cruel. And so, turned away from every sorority, study group, club, and medical center, Nancy was left alone with her best friends. Words.
Hello, books. What are we doing this weekend? I really need to call an exterminator about those crickets.
And so, for 4 years, Nancy toiled away until she got a degree in words and ended up with her dream job, head of the town library.
Well, Nancy, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Mayor Pastule. I can't believe I actually got the job of head librarian.
Yes, well, you were the only one who applied for the job.
When do I meet the library staff?
Right now. Look in the mirror.
Oh, it's just me?
Well, we can barely afford to keep this place open. The city revoked all library funding to pay for scenic artisan trash barrels for the wealthy. Last year, we had to lay off half the books. If it wasn't for that fund set up by Valentine Lopotomy, there would be no money for the library at all.
Valentine Lopotomy? Isn't he the billionaire playboy librarian who mysteriously disappeared all those years ago?
Why, yes. Despite his massive wealth, he still insisted on working at and privately funding the library. That's his photo over there.
Oh, he looks so rugged and mysterious. I wonder what happened to him.
He disappeared years ago. Back then, there was hardly any crime, and people came to the library in droves. Now I barely recognize the town I grew up in. Well, that's enough time talking about something that has nothing to do with anything. Any questions about work?
What will I do if the library gets too crowded?
Is that some kind of a joke? It's a library. You'll be lucky if you get any customers at all.
What will people do for reading?
Do you even live in the world? They'll steal what they want off the internet. If they can't do that, they'll order it off of Amazon. It gets delivered before you even finish clicking the mouse, and it feels like you don't even pay for it. And if you sign up for Amazon Smile, Your favorite charity gets a 50th of a cent for every $1,000 you spend. So you don't even have to give your favorite causes anymore.
Gee, Mr. Mayor, you certainly have a negative view of the world.
Yeah, because I live in it. Look, I'm in politics. The only way to see a worse side of humanity would be if I was president of a club of serial-killing pedophiles. Or if I worked for Sean Hannity.
Listen, Mr. Mayor, you can't ever let the world get you down. You have used your words to gain the people's trust, and that's a sacred responsibility.
Yeah. If I don't pass the bill that local millionaires the Bloke Brothers demand, they'll spend $50 million to destroy me.
$50
million? Yeah, it's the daily interest on their petty cash account. They'll spend some of it on attack ads and the rest to get Alfred Chanceworth elected.
Isn't he the white supremacist Nazi who used to get arrested for exposing himself to kids?
Yeah, they're going to run him as the morality candidate. He's going to talk about the recent crime wave.
Can't the police do anything?
No, they're trying. They are attacking every single minority they see. I don't know what more they can do. Here are your keys. I'd give you a tour of the library, but it's pretty much just rooms of books, and I have a series of meetings scheduled for today where I have to compromise all my principles, so I better get going.
And so, left alone in the library, Nancy got to work.
I better open the doors for all the library lovers. I have got to do something about this family of crickets living in the library. Who can read with all this noise?
And as the weeks went by, Nancy learned one of the most important lessons a librarian can learn.
Hello, Nancy.
Hello, Mr. Landlord.
Nancy, you haven't paid this month's rent on your apartment.
Oh, it's because I'm a librarian. Please give me a break. I should be able to make this month's rent in another 6 months, provided I don't get sick. My health insurance has a $30,000 deductible.
You're out.
With nowhere to go, Nancy moved all of her belongings into the library.
I can just sleep here, in the poetry section. Even people who love books won't come in here.
As the days went by, Nancy slowly began to reorganize the library.
Oh my, there's just so much work to do. I have to dust the shelves, organize the books, figure out what the hell the Dewey Decimal System actually is, clean up that dead body. I think what I need right now is a cleanup song. If I only knew one.
The more she cleaned, the more she found.
Oh my, look at this. Oh, I wonder who left all these brains here. Hey, what's behind this shelf? Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness indeed. For when Nancy pushed away the bookcase, she found...
Are these stairs?
Yes, they were stairs. And when she walked down those stairs, she discovered... It was a door! And when Nancy opened that door...
Hey! Look at that! A cave! Is this a computer? And there's a car! And look at all the books! If I didn't know any better, I'd say that this was some kind of crime fighter's cave. But superheroes aren't real. Hey, what's this old bag of rags?
Ow!
Oh my goodness! This pile of rags can talk! Talking rags! It's a miracle!
I'm not talking rags. I'm a person. And you've interrupted my napping.
I'm so sorry. How long have you been asleep?
What time is it?
3:30.
I've been sleeping for 34 years.
Wait. I recognize you. You're Valentin Lepotomy, the billionaire playboy who disappeared... 34 years ago.
Yes, that is I. But not only was I a dashing, handsome playboy desired by women all over the world.
Not actually true.
Of course it was. Women wanted to be with me, and men wanted to be me.
Wow. So there were no gay people back then?
Yes, there were. But we made it a point to marginalize them and shame them into silence.
And why are you called the greatest generation again?
We won the war. We beat the Nazis! Thanks to us, no one will ever have to deal with Nazis ever again! And if a Nazi ever reared his ugly head, you know any patriot would kick them the hell out of America toot sweet!
You really have been asleep for quite a while, haven't you?
Not only was I that man, but I was also... Poetry Man. The city's superhero who vanquished his enemies using the spoken word.
Oh my God! No way!
Yes. Yes way.
No, I mean, no way that any bad guy would be vanquished by the spoken word.
You say that, but did it ever occur to you that the reason crime is non-existent in this town is because I stopped it all with my poems? Why, I remember my exploits as if they were yesterday.
Hey, lady, put up your hands and give me all your money.
No!
Halt! It is I, Poetry Man. I think that I will never see a thing as lovely as a tree.
What?
Think about it.
Hey, wait a minute. I guess I just don't take the time to see beauty all around us. I'm gonna return to my life right now. Miss, you can forgive me and let me buy you dinner.
Sure.
And off they went. He wanted to mug her, but realized how much better the world would be if he tried to get to know her.
That's a nice and slightly creepy story. But there is a crime spree happening in town right now. You've been away for 34 years. You need to go outside.
And so Nancy and Poetry Man walked outside to find...
Get your drugs here,
hey,
drugs!
Hey, mister, you need a date tonight?
Bootleg DVDs here.
Insider trading, $5.
Oh my goodness. I had no idea. I thought I cleaned up this town.
It looks like a librarian's work is never done.
Well, there's only one thing to do.
What's that?
Yes. What is it? What the hell is it? Well, I can't tell you that. You'll have to sit there and enjoy the rest of the show. And if you're very well behaved and interested, you'll find out later on in tonight's program. I really thought that was going to get a lot more laughs. All right, our next guest has been telling stories here for a couple of weeks now. She is my mother, and ironically, it's been very exciting to me and thrilling to have my mom come and share the stage. Although every time she gets up, she tells a story about my brother, which is starting to affect me. But either way, she's incredible. We're going to bring her up in a second. Here we go.
She's Michael's mom, so she can't be wrong. She'll tell it straight and stay up late. It won't take long. It's Myrna's song.
Myrna!
Thank you for the welcome. I just got back from the wedding. I am exhausted. So I'm going to tell you a story about more adventures with Evan. Jane and...
Did I do nothing?
Well, Jane and Michael were sitting next to me as we watched a film my youngest child's friends made to celebrate his 50th birthday. Jane reflected on a December holiday in 1975. Remember that little inn in New Hampshire? They gave us Christmas presents labeled Evan's father, Evan's sister, Evan's brother, and Evan. The only name they knew was Evan because we ran after him yelling, Evan! For most of the week. The snow cover was poor. We didn't ski. I just remember running after Evan. Michael said, how about our family ski trip to Austria? Ah, Austria. My husband, Barry, booked a tour with a customer who had a sports travel business. The price was reasonable, and off we went, joined by our friend, Betty. Another friend knew the director of the ski school, and Barry, Jane, Michael, and Evan went off with a private instructor while Betty and I joined an intermediate ski class. Betty was much shorter than I, and it was a challenge for us to navigate the T-bar. We were anxious, and we were sure we would fall off the lift, roll into the woods, and not be found until spring. We sang and whistled. Whenever I feel afraid, I whistle a happy tune as we were schlepped up the mountain. Our instructor always stopped at quaint inns and for lunch and ordered a round of schnapps, and usually he drank them himself. Meanwhile, Barry and Michael fell into the deep powder and injured themselves. First run. They spent the remainder of the trip sightseeing or soaking in the mineral baths. Jane and Evan skied together, even getting lost as they skied to another town and had to take a train back to our village. In the evenings, after a day of fresh air and exercise, most of us retired early. Evan and Michael found a disco. At the time, the drinking age for beer and wine was 18, and distilled liquor was 21. Evan, at 19, was excited to be admitted to a club. After a wonderful week of skiing lessons, soaking in spas, good food and fun, the trip was ending. The bus was to pick us up in the morning, and as we were packing, Michael came into our room to announce that Evan couldn't find his passport. "Let's leave him here," said Barry. Evan finally, sheepishly, came into my room with the news, "Mom, I can't find my passport." "Well, let me help you search your room," said I. We divided the room into squares. His clothes were already spread over the entire floor of the room. After a thorough search, I asked, "Evan, where could you possibly have lost your passport?" "Well," he replied, "maybe in Liesel's room." "Who's Liesel?" I asked incredulously. "Silly me." "Well, she's someone I met at the disco. Go to her room and find out if it's there. She's in Bad Hofgestein and works at the Palace Hotel." "Bad Hofgestein?" I shrieked. "That's about 5 miles away. Call her." "I can't. She doesn't speak English." "You must have spoken some language," I said. "For heaven's sakes, ask the owner of the hotel, the owner of the inn, to call her." Liesel had his passport. He left it on her dresser. Fortunately, the bus had to pass through Bad Hofgestein on our way to the airport. The owner of our inn spoke with the bus driver, and the driver agreed to make the stop. People on our tour asked, "Why are we stopping here?" Evan got off the bus and headed into the hotel. Barry ran after him to make sure he gets the passport. And my photographer daughter, Jane, followed snapping pictures. Betty and I stayed on the bus and I sang, "He lost his passport at the Palace Hotel in Bad Hofgestein." At that part, I have a good audience. At that party, I looked at my handsome 50-year-old son, who was now a charming, mature husband and father his friends were celebrating. I wondered, did they know he was the little stinker who left his passport in some girl's room in Austria? Yodely hee hoo.
Buddy Tyler is a poet in Austin, Texas, and we do this every show. He sends a poem letter to us as our pen pal. So this is the poem that he sent.
He's a man, he's a poet, he's our pen pal, don't we know it? He's a man named Biscuits Calhoun.
Dear Paige, I am writing this letter after LeBron James. He nailed a game winner against the Indiana Pacers. I originally wrote my Indiana Pacers, a sentiment that feels both right and hyperbolic, reductive, fairly offensive, some possession garnered by my gaining some possessions with the navy blue and gold P, and a lightning bolt heart for their success. Anyhow, LeBron James, he nailed a game winner against those Indiana Pacers in Game 5 of this year's Eastern Conference first round NBA playoffs. That time of year, I hunker down and become the fan I once was. Pre-real job, pre-second marriage, pre-whatever caused that feeling, I should be writing a poem. I should be mopping a floor. I should be reading a poem. I should be underneath a tree. The regular season finds me occasionally popping into the pub once in a while for a game or intersecting a fourth quarter on the television as this house dips down into darkness, or the every so often checking of the scores as I nibble my muffin. There's that word again. My, oh my. I am enthusiastic but generally terrible at the actual playing of basketball. This is the kind of person I am, enthusiastic but generally terrible. A realization that turned these observations and recollections towards a poem, though not yet a letter to you. April 25th, and the dagger sank through the net, and this feeling hurried towards me. This series is over soon. Dean Young, he said, there's nothing worse than a poem that doesn't stop, which is true of most sections of life. Basketball mashups, a joke, an existence at all. One basketball matchup that keeps on keeping on is Lance Stephenson, now on his second stint with the Pacers, and his enthusiastic but terrible feud with LeBron James, and watching Lance slump off the court, shoulders shrugged at another defeat by LeBron, I remember Lance's brother, somewhere weeping into a Gatorade, perhaps, somewhere not even watching, perhaps, but receiving the disappointment like a knot in the neck. These two are not twins, but these brothers share a particular, peculiar bond. They have the same name. Well, kind of. The NBA player is Lance Stephenson, L-A-N-C-E. The other brother is Lance Stephenson, L-A-N-T-Z. This similarity, a ha-ha, sure, and totally baffling, but that humor is a mirror for me. My two cousins, born less than a year apart, both named Rusty. Today, I relearned that Gary Payton, he named his two sons Gary Payton Jr. and Gary Payton II. I mean, goodness gracious sakes alive, everyone calls my uncle Cooter. So yes, I get it. So yes, I started this letter before the last letter even got mattered, mailed, or muttered into the Santa Barbara air. In the mirror of my ongoing tiresome laugh, I remember when my dad took to calling me RoboCop when I played middle school hoops. My dad, he said, you only have 2 inches of skin showing, accounting for my prescription sports goggles, my baggy uniform, my undershirt, my shooting sleeve. I was very skinny at this point. Why did I have a shooting sleeve? I never shot the ball. More on this later. My headband, my wristband, my knee-high socks, connecting both my knee braces to both my ankle braces. I have bad bones, Paige, and years later we gawked at tapes from those games, my well-protected, noodly self clopping from one free throw line to the next, never making it farther, never quick enough to camp out under the rim. In one video, I do dare end near the basket. My friend Cody, he passes me the ball and I pump fake, but instead of actually faking with the ball, I just flail my head back like a Pez dispenser. My goggles, my headband, my bad haircut, all threatening to fly into the empty first row. How exhausting it is to be constructed of 1,000 parts. Or is it several thousand? Timothy Delaney, he said that, and I must add that exhaustion reverberates hilarity and trickery that keeps us keeping on, the parts of the body mingling with the parts of the brain, and that concoction thrown into the complexity of the game, and the movement, and the music, and the matchups, etc. This is why I love basketball. Do you like basketball, Paige? Why or why not? One of my favorite on-court moments was in the Olympics, the 2000 Sydney Games. Vince Carter, he grew his hair out for some reason, and then he jumped over a 7-foot-tall Frenchman named Frederick. Looking up the spelling of the dude's name, I learned that this spectacle occurred on my 12th birthday. Like, he leapt completely over this guy standing there. Anyway, my favorite off-the-court moment is the debacle Delonte West he created in his actions and with his aura. I heard a local comedian the other day repeat this story, how the Cavaliers with LeBron and Delonte and others, they were soaring through the playoffs, till supposedly someone let it slip that Delonte, he had slept with LeBron's mom. Cue gasp, cue replay of LeBron playing like unbuttered toast, cue the Cavaliers losing the series. This comedian didn't tell the audience this anecdote. It isn't much more than Reddit rubble, though the pile of bricks LeBron left behind that year, it is certainly true. What else is certainly true is the spin-out of Delonte West following that season. He was pulled over on his motorcycle and police found a shotgun in the guitar case he strapped across his back. Depending on your sympathetic veins or your empathetic gaze, this is either hilarious or terrifying, but maybe it is also both. How, when months after leaving the NBA, Delonte West, he applied to Home Depot. And I feel, in that flop, both an enthusiastic WTF and a terrible prophecy. I know I am one or two haulers at work away from my own Home Depot application. I know I am a few psychiatric pitfalls from joining those fellows beneath the bypass. I know I am an addiction and a trio of DUIs away from losing control of my body. Rashid Wallace, he once was in talks with a candy company regarding the use of semi-permanent, or is it semi-temporary, tattoos of their logo on his body. Which reminds me of Morgan Parker. She flops down a line break to clip the whole sentiment. But the question is, how are you making money? Are you for sale? This is humbling, to realize you could lose it all in a jiffy. Like when I breathed out, I am a 6-foot-tall white kid from a chubby family in Indiana. I am not going to be a professional basketball player. There, I said it. Though like Peter Davis, he said, I even took it seriously. Anyhow, I found other basketball adventures to pursue. All options, of course, quickly fizzled out. Coaching, trick shots, street ball. That last door slammed shut at 14 years old. I was crossovering and behind the backing with enthusiastic but terrible delight, nearly beat by this 11-year-old. So, to back him into his place, I reached for the humiliating move of bouncing the ball off his forehead, which translates to, I actually hit this kid from 6 inches away, square in the nose. It ran blood. He ran home. His dad charged into my yard, and his dad attempted to beat up my dad. I never did try that move again. My grandpa was sitting on the porch, umping at everyone for carrying on and for not being at work. I am glad I remember my grandpa here. I am glad I remember to call him on his birthday and ask about his Sudoku puzzles and even listen to his useless opinions. Grandpa, he says, dunks should only be worth 1 point. I still don't know if you like basketball, Paige. I hope you at least like this letter. But clearly, this argument is stupid and certainly, with a little time, reveals itself a little bit racist, like my grandpa. Still, I love him, and haphazardly, I redirect towards another old man, Charles Simic. He said, oh, you heartless people who can't wait to go to the beach tomorrow morning, what about the black and white photo of the grandparents you are abandoning? Which leads me to my cousin, who years before, arguing with my grandpa about his will, while the man who connects them, he died in the other room. My cousin, he taught me that stupid off-the-head trick, my own headache and tears running to my dad, except my dad never swung at my uncle. My dad, he said, just take care of it, which probably meant be better at basketball, but which I translated to punch him in the face. Which was another one of my many phases, like street ball or building first aid kits or Jesus. I once had a t-shirt. It said, basketball is a game, but Jesus is life. I don't know, maybe basketball is life. A good reflection of it. The sphere sustaining us, smushing us together, pushing us further, both into and from our sweet spots, than we ever wished possible. One of my favorite players as a child, Bonzi Wells. He was once a kid in Central Indiana, and then he played in the NBA for 10 seasons, and he kind of looked like the fifth Ninja Turtle. But my favorite part was how he ended his career. Bonzi Wells, he played professionally in China, notching 48 points and snagging 11 rebounds in his debut. But his contract was terminated when he failed to return from the Chinese New Year. I sat with friends in the shade. They have disappeared. Most of the stories have to do with vanishing. W.S. Merwin, another old man who has yet to disappear but appears to be vanishing, he said that. When I was in college at Ball State, I bumped into Bonzi Wells in the basketball arena. He had not vanished or disappeared. He was back in Muncie watching his cousin, Jawan Scaife. He now played for the Cardinals. When I worked at Ball State Writing Center, I tutored Jawan for his Composition 101 final. His essay was about the importance of cloning. Anyhow, when I came nose to chest with Bonzi Wells, I said, "Dude, it's you." And he said, "Nah, man, it's you."
He's a man. He's a poet. He's a man named Biscuits Calhoun.
Jim Connolly, a.k.a. Toy Shop Ghost.
Oh! Woo!
Banjo, episode two.
This is a song called Welcome Mat, and it's brand new.
Hello! Hello!
Hello, plumber! You make it fun to pee again. Hello, piano tuner. I hope your hands are clean, my friend. Hey there, Girl Scout cookie. Let's make this world a better place. Hello, sex offender. Can you respect the human race? Thank you.
Thank you.
People to submit talents that they would like to share, and we've picked a few of you, and we're going to read out your talent and ask you to come up. We have a wheel, and each contestant will spin the wheel, and the number on the wheel is how many seconds you have to perform your talent, at the end of which a winner will be picked, and that winner will take home the coveted live from the Piano Kitchen trophy, which is a duck.
With an actual Steinway part.
Yeah.
I know you were going to say that.
Because here's the thing is the trophy is different every month, right? The duck is always the same. We have a big thing of those ducks. And then Jim creates an original work of art. So it's very coveted. Who wrote poetry? Rick, come on up.
All right.
I'm very intrigued by this one. Vibrate My Face. Yes, all
Insomnia
right.
Man. Insomnia guy.
And finally, the gentleman who wants to impress us with his Bullwinkle impersonation.
Wait, there was a song. Somebody was going to sing a song.
Yeah, we're coming.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah. All right. So, can you introduce yourselves?
Gary.
Christian.
Rick.
Okay. Rick, why don't you go first? Why don't you spin the wheel?
Okay. There!
20 seconds.
20 seconds!
All right. Kate
all right,
is going
to
set the timer. We're going to say go. You're going to have 20 seconds to share your poetry with us. You ready?
3, 2, 1.
It's a poem by Issa. Don't worry, spider. I keep house casually.
Yeah, all right! Very nice. All right, Christian. Christian, your talent is the vibration, right?
Yeah.
Vibrate my face. That's going
to
play.
I hope I don't have to do it for 60 seconds.
Uh-oh.
1 second of face vibration.
All right, ready?
Go.
Good time, yeah. All right, Gary.
Five seconds.
Bullwinkle.
Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my head.
Again.
Nothing up my sleeve. Bretto.
All right, yeah. All right, we're going to have you, the audience, judge. When I call out the name of the contestant, clap, and we'll whoever gets the loudest applause. So, do you vote for the poetry by Rick?
Yeah.
The facial vibration by Kristen. Or the Bullwinkle impersonation by Gary. I think it's Christian. Let's give it up for Christian. Thank you very much.
To say to you, misconnections.
Hello. I'm the guy from Seattle who you asked, what is it with all this reading? I've been kicking myself since you left the restaurant for not talking to you earlier in the night. It also would have been better to talk to you before having too much wine. Can I make it up to you?
Where did you go? Can we be friends? I have so much to say to you.
April 30th. Santa Ynez Museum alone together. We entered the museum one after the other and exchanged a few words among the stagecoaches. Later, we ran into each other again on the street and chatted some more. The rest of the day and night, I have not stopped thinking of you and asking myself, wait, was that chemistry I felt mutual? Did I miss a cue? Were we both too shy? I would really love to see you and talk with you again before you return to New Hampshire and I get back to Los Angeles.
Misconnection. Misconnection.
May 1st, Gaviota Peak Trail. Sarah with the blue teal watch.
May 1st, cutie mohawk walking down Carrillo. Cute guy walking down the street with a mohawk. You had on a beige shirt and were carrying a box. Will you go on a date with me? Email me a picture so I know it's you. I'll even email one back.
Where did you go? Can we be friends? I have so much to say to you.
May 10th, Soho Glasses Girl. This one goes out to the very pretty woman with glasses at Soho last night. I thought you were attractive. And once I saw you do the backpack boy dance, you went from attractive to hot. Here's hoping I get to bump into you in the future and actually say hello.
May 9, a man named Airy. Looking for a man named Airy that lives on a boat in Santa Barbara Harbor and drives a black Toyota truck and has a couple of dogs. I met him last June at a liquor store in Montecito and lost his number. My name is Tara.
I know that guy. I do. Where did you go? We'd be friends. Two boats over from me.
May 10th, jury pool. Dismissed, but not forgotten. I know this is a long shot. We met on Wednesday for jury duty. I said I liked your glasses. You said you liked my taste in books. I couldn't have made a good first impression because I was dumbstruck by you. Give me another chance. Coffee, dinner, drinks. You, punk boots, ravishing smile, fascinating eyes, wicked sense of humor. Me, suit, tie, dark hair, with a sprinkle of wisdom. I'm using that now.
Where did you go? Can we be friends? I have so much to say to you. Misconnections.
Yeah. Alright. Let's bring up the radio players to close out our show. Welcome back to Poetry Person of Vengeance. In our first episode, Nancy became the new town librarian.
This library is amazing, Mr. Mayor. I bet everyone in the city will come use it.
Only if you stock it up with YouTube clips of puppies or people being kicked in the nuts.
And while cleaning the library, Nancy discovered a secret cave that was once the headquarters of the superhero... Poetry Man.
I vanquished my enemies with the power of the spoken word.
And a gun?
No! Just words.
And when Nancy tells him that the city is currently experiencing a crime wave, Poetry Man vows to come out of retirement.
Are you telling me that you're gonna start fighting crime again as Poetry Man?
That's right, Nancy. And I need you to help me, Poetry Man.
Me?
You're a librarian, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
And so you abide by the secret librarian's code?
I don't know what that is.
What? The librarian's code? The ancient rules of behavior that have governed librarians since the dawn of reading? Did no one impart these to you?
They taught me how to say shh.
What has happened to the world? In ancient times, there was a royal order of librarians. These 12 sages guarded the gates of knowledge and established a code of conduct that every librarian must swear to uphold. I can't believe you weren't made to master the code.
Sorry.
Did you even learn the library song?
No, there's a library song?
Yes. It is the most beautiful song in the world. But it must be sung so softly that no one can hear it.
Then how do you know it's so beautiful?
I just do. Nancy, you are going to join me in my fight against crime. Here, put this on.
This is pretty tight.
All crime fighters must wear incredibly tight clothes for maximum flexibility.
But why does mine have a panty-flashing miniskirt, a push-up bra, and expose so much cleavage?
That's standard superhero wear.
You're not wearing it.
You want to fight crime or not?
I do.
Then put on the stripper outfit. We will call you... Rhyme Gal.
Why can't I just be... Poetry lady, or... Poetry person?
Because I'm Poetry Man. You are the sidekick. The sidekick is always a boy, or a lad, or a gal, or a girl, or lass, or a lassie, or piece of ass. Not a person. Who even knows what a person is?
Why do I have to be limited to my gender?
Why can't you celebrate your gender?
I'm rhyme person, or I'm out. If words matter, then what you call me matters, and I'm a grown woman.
Fine. Then can we go with Rhyme Lady? That way I don't have to change my name to Poetry Person. Now, if there are no other matters to be discussed, we should partake to the matter at hand, crime fighting. To the Poetry Mobile!
Really? Poetry Mobile?
And so Poetry Man and the newly dubbed Rhyme Lady spent about an hour trying to jumpstart the Poetry Mobile, and then another hour finding a gas station that still sold diesel fuel, but then they were on their way.
Now, don't let this shock you, but this mobile is full of high-tech gadgetry. Why, it even has a communication system built into the car!
Wow!
Let me just call the commissioner. I'll turn on the communicator. Commissioner. Come in, commissioner.
I could just use my cell phone.
Please, Rhyme Lady, you are new to crime fighting. Commissioner!
Hello.
Is this the commissioner?
No, it's Randy.
Randy, can you get the commissioner?
No, I actually don't know who that is.
Randy, this is a private line to the police station. You must know who the commissioner is.
Yeah, dude. So I bought this thing at a yard sale when the old police station was condemned. I use it as an intercom to tell my mom to bring me pancakes.
I don't know if this is the best use of this technology.
You haven't tasted her pancakes. I gotta go, dude. Golden Girls is on, and that's my masturbating time.
This is a terrible turn of events.
I could call the mayor for you.
We don't have time to stop and make a phone call.
Yeah, I have his number on speed dial.
Beep, beep, boop, beep, beep, boop, beep, beep, beep.
Hello?
Mr. Mayor, it's Nancy, the librarian.
Why the hell are you calling me?
You gave me your number and said I could call in case of a library emergency.
I didn't actually mean it. And who the hell has a library emergency?
I'm actually not at the library. I'm in the Poetry Mobile with... Poetry Man!
What? I knew you were crazy.
No, it's true!
Poetry Man isn't real. It's just a crazy story.
He is real, and we are about to go fight crime using the power of the spoken word.
Well, I guess I'll start looking for a new librarian.
I'm not quitting. I'm doing this at night when the library is closed.
Oh, I don't think you're quitting. I just think you'll be dead in an hour.
How did the call go? Did he identify areas of the city where supervillains might be hiding?
He wished us luck.
Let's go!
And so the two superheroes sped into town, and as luck would have it, they stumbled into a bank robbery.
All right, I just gotta blow that safe and get the dough before the cops come.
Please, let me go. I have children.
Shut up, or I'll kill you. We got plenty of hostages. No one's gonna miss one.
My kids will miss me.
I mean, no one here will miss you.
I might.
What?
I've secretly been in love with Marcia for years, but have been afraid to tell her. I'd miss her if she died.
Frank, I never knew.
Oh, Marcia.
Don't shut up or I'll kill you both!
None shall die this day, you nefarious nabob.
Who the fuck are you?
I am Poetry Man, defender of the innocent, protector of language.
Is this a joke?
No, sir. I fight crime using the power of language. I think that I shall never see a thing as lovely as a tree.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I knew this was a bad idea.
This one has a dark heart. I must go to his level.
Hey, you take your poems and go.
Even the cruelest can learn to be kind, you know.
Oh, you're gonna rhyme with me now? This could not get worse.
I'll best you with my couplets, the fisticuffs of verse.
That's it. It's time for a fight to start.
Maybe a little human contact will melt your hard heart.
Yeah. There's no one who can reach me, not you or any other.
What made you so mean? Not loved by your mother?
I haven't thought about my mother since I was a little boy.
You've got to feel the sorrow to understand the joy.
Oh, you are a formidable opponent. Where do you get the stamina?
I get my energy from sonnets and iambic pentameter. God.
I will not give in. I'll kill you if I have to, with my cold steel gun.
That's a haiku!
Ah!
Oh my God, you shot Poetry Man!
I'm a bank robber holding a gun, what did you expect?
In my day, the bad guys didn't shoot the guns, or they just missed all the time for no good reason.
Well now you're dying, you stupid idiot.
Hey! Just slow your roll, Pillsbury dick boy!
What did you call me?
You heard me, fantastic Mr. Fuck! You know what? Poetry Man was right about you being a loser.
I never actually said
I got this, dude. Listen, teenage mutant ninja turd face. I want you to imagine that an irradiated, decrepit bull with mad cow disease jizzed into a napkin. Now imagine that a spider laid her eggs in that jizz. Now imagine the twisted nightmares that crawl out of that jizz. Now imagine one of them is fucking your mother. Now imagine your mother gives birth to that twisted cow spider human mess. I bet he still has more friends than you.
Oh my God. That hurts. I actually don't have any friends. And with that, the bank robber burst into tears and dropped his gun. And Nancy saw an opportunity and kicked the bank robber in the nuts.
Eat that shithead.
Oh! Once Nancy had tied up the bank robber, she remembered Poetry Man, who was shot and most probably dying.
Nancy.
Don't move! Poetry Man, I've got an ambulance.
No, it's over for me, Nancy. You did it. You bested a villain with the power of the spoken word. Admittedly, a touch more salty than I would have chosen, but still, you are Poetry Person now. It's my time. Dying is an art. Like everything else, I do it exceptionally well.
You're so beautiful.
Sylvia.
Blah. Oh! Poetry Man!
So is this over? Can we go?
Marcia, may I walk you home?
Frank!
Yeah. Hey, guys, would you mind not doing that here with a dead body right here?
Sorry.
We'll go.
Later on, back at the secret cave below the library.
Oh! Poetry Man. Hello?
Hello, this is the bank manager. I spoke with Valentine Lepotomy just before he died, and he authorized me to transfer all his accounts into your name.
How is that possible? I was with him when he died. Wouldn't I have had to sign a lot of papers?
Are you saying you don't want access to his billions of dollars to continue his good work, his fight?
I don't think I'm saying that, but...
Let me tell you a little story. Years ago, a man was embarking on a life of crime. If things had gone a certain way, he might have ended up in jail, but a chance encounter with a superhero who loved words inspired that man to turn his life around. He fell in love with a woman he almost mugged. They got married and had a child. That child grew up in a house full of love and went on to become a successful bank manager. Now do you understand?
Are you saying that man was your father and it inspired you to silently assist Poetry Man in his fight against crime?
No, it's just a cool story I thought you might like. Anyway, you want the billions or not?
I'll take them.
Done.
I guess I've learned something today about the power of words. Words can be used as a force for good as long as they are the nastiest, most insulting words possible.
And so, some night in a dark alley, if you happen to be getting mugged, perhaps you might see a flash of cape and hear a familiar voice.
It's like if someone took a whole suitcase full of dead dicks, rolled them up, formed them into one giant dead dick, drew some lines on it, gave it a little carrot nose, except instead of a carrot, it was another dead dick. That's you! You're like Frosty the Snowman, except you're made of dead dicks. And you smell.
A voice that belongs to the one, the only, Poetry Person! That's our show! Thank you so much for coming! Thanks to the Vienna Picture Radio Players, Anne Corsiglieri, Mitchell Thomas!